Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Coach Speak. I'm Matt Seidel, along with fellow hosts Derek Seidel and Josh Trope. Hello, everybody. It's Sunday, April 11, and we are back on the pod talking high school basketball, which, by the way, completed a whirlwind 9-week season this weekend with 8 state championship games at the Breslin Center in East Lansing. Fellas, we did it. We actually got the season in despite a, what was that, a 2.5-month pause at the start. And then we wrapped things up the second week of April instead of late March. So I don't know if he had confidence in that or not, but we got it in. Any thoughts? Are you satisfied with what we did, what occurred?
Yeah, I think so. I think obviously as we were not shy to mention back, you know, in the fall and the winter, we would have done things a little bit differently probably. But at the end of the day, we were able to get quite a few games in, and you know, we were able to crown state champions in every division. So that is a success, I think, especially given the year. It obviously didn't have to live through that devastation that all those seniors from a year ago, you never even got to find. A few teams, I guess, had to deal with that. But overall, I'd say it was a success.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to thank, you know, we were really hard on some of these people, but I would really like to thank Mark Yule and the MHSA. I thought they did a great job helping us get to the finish line. You know, this will probably be the only time I ever do this, so I'm going to do it right now. I'd like to thank all the officials for all they did this year, and I truly mean that. I mean, those guys, we wouldn't have had a season without those guys and girls that they came out and officiated the games. I want to thank them. And then all the athletic directors, even you, Matt. I mean, in all that, I mean, even though you don't schedule away games, so it's a little easier to be the AD there. I do want to thank all the athletic directors as well. And I'm being sincere. Without all those people I just mentioned, we would have never made it. And I think it's great. And if anything, I hope we really take a step back and use this to learn all the things we could from this season. I think we learned that we don't need post-game handshakes anymore at all. I don't think there's any need to ever go back to that. I think we learned that basketball season probably is too long right now if we're only going to play 20 games. We learned that we could play 20 games in 9 weeks. So what are we doing in, you know, 4.5 months, you know, or 3.5 months, whatever it is, with practices included or not included preseason. But I think we learned a lot of those things. I think we learned that we can play 3 games a week and it's okay. So I really hope that we take advantage as a coaching association and we go to the rep council and say, hey, we need to make some changes to basketball. We learned a lot by this shortened season.
Yeah, and the rep council is always real, you know, they respond really well to suggestions that are made. I said sarcastically, but yeah, I agree. I'm gonna praise all the same people that you did. We doubted them and still not totally satisfied with how things were laid out, but grateful that we had a season and for most schools, they got to finish their season on the court, and definitely some exciting basketball this past week and even the weeks leading up. So, but let's focus on our area. Let's jump right into the big news of the weekend, and that would be on the girls' side, where Grass Lake and Coach Andrea Cabana claimed a Division III state championship on Friday. Exciting 52-50 victory over previously undefeated Kent City. I read that that's the first Jackson County girls team to win a state championship. Manchester had won one in 2013, but they were technically in Washtenaw County, even though they're part of the Cascades. So that was a big deal, and I don't think anybody's totally surprised by it. But it was a great win nonetheless, and a really exciting game. I was out of town, watched it on tape delay, but I think you guys maybe watched some or all of it live. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought it was a really, really impressive win. I mean, I guess we can throw out there too. They didn't even get to play in their semifinal game because Hemlock had to forfeit due to COVID. So for them to have to come out there, you know, you sometimes had those nerves in your first game, you know, at the Breslin, on that big stage. I guess some teams had to play out in at Van Andel this year. But you know, they came out shooting the ball well early on, and it was a really fun first half. You know, both teams were scoring quite a bit. I know Gabby Luchka was huge with, I think, 4 3-pointers in that first mm-hmm. half. And then, you know, it was definitely an interesting game down the stretch with some drama from both teams there. So that it was a fun watch, and I'm glad that, you know, the local team pulled it out.
Yeah, it was a great game to watch. Derek and I were texting back and forth while we were watching the game. At halftime, he went out for a run, and I just grabbed a bowl of chips. But besides that, we were texting back and forth. I thought it was a great game, but I really thought the first quarter of that game was the key. I thought senior Amber Boomer, and by the way, that's a great name.
Oh, yeah.
Senior Amber Boomer hits clutch shot after clutch shot. I'm positive she did not miss a shot until the second quarter. I think she was 4 for 4 in the first quarter. She came up huge until the big three really got rolling later in the game. And I thought that was a huge part of that game because, Kent City couldn't miss in the first quarter. I think they scored 18 points in the first quarter. And, as Derek had mentioned, Luchka and Boomer really carried Grass Lake. And then I thought the other thing was Coach Cabana, I thought, made a great coaching move in the first quarter. They came out in a 3-2 zone, and they really got picked apart really bad in the zone. And she made an adjustment really quickly in the middle of the first quarter to go back to man-to-man. And then their athleticism won out. They really changed the game with their defense. And I felt like at that point they really separated it. And late in the game, Kent City made a run to close the gap, but it was really a 6 to 10 point spread most of the game because of that change to man-to-man defense.
I'm glad you mentioned Amber Boomer too, man. She's a senior starter. There's three senior starters. It's her and Avery Cabana, who is one of the big three that you referenced, and she was in double figures again with 10 points. But Lauren Pongrass played very well too. It just had some key plays at key times, took the pressure off the big three to do everything. And, even though there's two really good players returning and some sub-varsity players who are outstanding coming back in that program, the three seniors, Cabana, Boomer, and Pongrats, it was good to see them really contribute in their final game and be a big part of that state title. The one name, of course, we haven't mentioned is Alexis Vargaser, who led the way as usual, even though it wasn't her greatest offensive game. But she's so poised and patient and lets the game come to her and just finds different ways to contribute. And we've talked a lot about her on this show all year long, and so much so that we got a hold of her in the last day or two and asked her if she'd fit us into her busy schedule. So here is an interview that we did with Lexi. We are now joined on Coach Speak by Alexis Vargaser, a key member. That's an understatement, by the way, a key member of this year's state championship Grass Lake girls basketball team. Alexis is on Friday included 16 points, 10 rebounds, and 5 steals. Alexis, thanks for joining us.
No, thank you for having me.
Hey, I got to ask you. So I never won a state championship in basketball. So I'm wondering what the 24 to 48 hours right after a state championship are like. So can you kind of walk us through some of the things that have been happening in your life the last 48 hours?
Yeah. So right after that game, it was so great to come home and see our whole community throw a parade through our town and celebrate with us. And it's just so cool to have everyone there, and they're so supportive. So it's super cool to have that. And I mean, after that, went home and was hanging with my family and enjoying it. And I mean, my family already wanted to watch the game on TV again. And I was like, guys, we just finished the game. What are you doing? So we ended up watching it yesterday.
Well, that's great. I mean, I was telling you earlier that's how I watched. I was out of state when you actually played the game, so I had to kind of watch it on the archived video. And other than them mispronouncing your last name a few times, it was what an exciting event. I got to throw also in the last 48 hours, if I'm not mistaken, did you decide to jump into another sport right away and compete yesterday in track and field?
Yes, bright and early. I got up at 8 a.m. and went to a track meet.
so much for preseason downtime between seasons. So
I think you did quite well in that meet, didn't you?
Yeah, I ended up getting first in both my events.
That's great. Okay. You averaged 25 points a game this year, which is incredible because there was times my team struggled to score 25 points a game. But your defense was on full display on Friday. I mean, you made so many things happen, especially in that first half when you guys were struggling to get stops. You were making big plays in the defensive end. You picked another all-stater pocket at right at the top of the key. You had some key rebounds. You obviously like playing defense. Who or what do you attribute that to, and has that always been a big part of your game?
Yeah, it's always been a big part of my game just because you can't always score. Sometimes you're going to have off nights, so you need to pick it up on the defensive end. And I kind of attribute that to my dad and my mom even. We're all so aggressive. It's just an aggressive family, and my brothers, so I look up to them a ton. They're also great defenders.
Okay.
And there's a pretty good athletic gene in that family, just throwing that out there. If anybody hasn't noticed that yet with Brennan and Xavier and Dave and Lori, the parents obviously have a lot to do with that. But, Alexis, I need you to come talk to my team before next season and say exactly what you just said about finding other ways to contribute maybe when the offense isn't always there. I think that's important for players. But, oh, man.
Mm-hmm. So. Hey, Lexi, so my favorite part of the state championship game was at the end in the huddle with you at the free throw line up two, and you emphatically state, "I am not going to miss." And the tone of your voice was clear that you were confident, but you did throw "but if I do," and then you went into your, "Are we going to foul? Are we not going to foul?" Which was very cool to see. But I'm just curious what was going through your mind in that huddle and while you're at the line shooting those, you know, pressure free throws.
Yeah. So, I mean, speaking into existence, right? So I was saying that confident. I was excited to go shoot the free throws. And, I mean, hoping I could make them and confident I was going to make them. And I also wanted to make sure that, I mean, things happen. If I don't make them, I wanted to make sure our team was prepared so we can still pull out that win.
Yeah, she's thinking, obviously, with Dad being a coach, she thinks a little bit like a coach too, because a lot of players in that moment, for them to actually be thinking ahead, like a coach, are we going to foul or not foul, depending on the situation, I think was pretty impressive, just as much as her making those two free throws, by the way.
I loved the interaction throughout that timeout between you and your dad and Coach Cabana about where we're going to foul, how many times we're going to foul. It was really cool to see that. Not only that they allowed you input, but that obviously you guys are all very connected, both coaches and players. That was really cool to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It did make me nervous when you guys contested that 3-point shot at the end there, and instead of just maybe just like walking toward the bench and getting out of her way. But fortunately, the official and nobody fouled, but it made me nervous just watching it. And I was watching it in tape delay. It wasn't even live. I knew the outcome. So, mm-hmm. Down the road, Alexis, you know, you're going to be talking about this state championship at Grass Lake, but your stories are going to be anything but typical. And I'm not even talking about the fact that you had to wear a mask all season and you had to take a COVID test before during the week of your quarters and semi and final. I mean, that's crazy enough, 30 years down the road when you're talking about this. But you had some other, you guys as a team had some other stuff that was just, who experiences this stuff? What was it like sitting out, I guess, some of the early tournament games? I never saw like an official comment on that, but I assume, and we assume, that they just, Coach Cabana and you guys must have made a team decision not to get even just get rid of the possibility of getting caught up in an opponent's contact tracing, if there ever was that. Mm-hmm. Was that the idea there, just to keep you guys safe from that so you were available later in the tournament?
Yep. As hard as it was to sit out and not be able to play our five starters, we knew that, I mean, we didn't want to take the risk of not being able to finish the tournament because, I mean, some teams in the tournament got kicked out because of COVID. So,
right.
I mean, it's great to have our other players, like our JV players, the younger players, come in and be able to beat these teams so we can ensure that we get all the way to state championship game.
I saw, too, in an article, I think Coach Cabana was talking about, your JV team was very successful. Your middle school teams were very successful this year. So even though you lost three, key seniors off this team, the cupboard is not bare by any means with you and Gabby and several other players back. I also got to ask, what were your emotions or your teammates' emotions? You guys are jacked up to play in a semifinal game against Hemlock, and then you find out Wednesday morning, I assume, that Hemlock has to forfeit due to COVID issues. I mean, what was that like?
Yeah, I woke up at 7 a.m., came out into the kitchen, and my parents told me that we weren't having a game. And I was like, you're kidding me. Like, this couldn't have happened again. Like, we've had so many cancellations, and it's just all so disappointing. And we're all excited to play at the Breslin and get a feel for the court and the hoops. But, I mean, stuff like that happens, and I feel so bad for Hemlock, and that's how their season had to end. And, I mean, they were just as upset as we were, possibly even more, I would think so, because they didn't get that chance. But
right.
Just also upsetting, but that's just the way it is sometimes.
Your status is clear that you're one of the top juniors in the state, maybe one of the top juniors in the country. You have multiple offers from Power Five universities. All of that said, like, do you have a timeline set up with, like, you and your family when you want to make a decision?
No, I don't have a timeline. It's been a little harder with this whole COVID situation, not being able to visit schools and that being pushed back. I am obviously thinking more than I was more like when I was younger and starting to get those offers. And I'm hoping that after summer, maybe I can really dial it down and figure out which college fits me best.
Okay. And then would you take like some official visits maybe next fall when hopefully you can see the campuses, or will you try to do that this summer?
Yeah, I'm hoping that when official visits are allowed again, I can do those. But also during the summer, like on my way to my AU tournaments, I'm going to stop at a bunch of different colleges and just check out the campuses on my own.
That's a great idea. Yeah.
That's very cool. Speaking of AAU, you've been a marquee player on your Michigan Premier team in recent years, but you're now playing with or for the Michigan Crossover. So I'm just curious what went into that decision, and can you tell us a little bit about your new team?
Yeah, so I played with Premier for a good amount of years now, ever since the program first started, and I played with Coach Andrea my whole life. So that was such a difficult decision to have to leave that program, but I mean, she totally understand why I did it, and I just wanted to give myself a bigger challenge. So then, like, everything's about preparing for college and that exciting moment in my life. So I'm really glad I made the switch, and I'm excited to play with these new girls and meet them and learn new things from the new coaches.
Now you're actually playing some games later today, correct?
Yes, I have 3 games later tonight.
And you guys have put in hours and hours of practice and gotten to know each other, team bonded and everything, and you're ready to roll, or is that not accurate?
It's been a little hard to get together, especially with high school season and COVID. So honestly, I've only went to 2 open gyms.
All right. I was just joking. I knew the answer to that question, especially with your schedule lately. So, but
yeah, it's been a little tough, but I'm so excited to like see how it goes today. And obviously we'll have some practices coming up, and it's going to be fun.
Now, we referenced your brother, Xavier, who's at Alma, I believe, right?
Yes, exactly.
And Brennan, who's going to be going to Bethel for both track and basketball. Mm-hmm. That leaves you alone in the house next year. You're the only child. If you're not spoiled already, you're going to be next year. Are you looking forward to that, or is that going to be hard for you?
I love getting spoiled, of course, so that's going to be great. But, I mean, it's so sad having my brothers gone. Like, they're truly my best friends, and they take up a big spot in our household, so it's going to be quiet next year.
So, I mean, we can't let you go, Lexi, without giving you this question as well. So I know you and Alex Darnell, I know high schoolers these days don't like to put labels on things. And I don't know what the label is, but you guys like to hang out, your buddies. Obviously, I know Alex real well, being our best player over here at Napoleon this past year. But I got to imagine with your guys' gym you have at your house and everything, you guys have to have played one-on-one before. So who usually wins if you guys were to go at it in one-on-one?
Oh, man. When he listens to this, he's not going to be happy. But he played one-on-one, and I actually beat him twice.
I believe that. I've seen you play and Alex, and I totally believe that. So,
man, it was competitive, let me tell you.
I can imagine.
If that's accurate, and I have no reason to believe it's not, I would have to blame Alex as probably his high school coach, because it probably came down to individual defense, and since Derek just focuses on offense these days, he's been influenced by Coach Trope. Lexus obviously had more breeding in the defensive area, so that's probably the difference in that game. Yeah. But we'd like to get video of that at some point. If you want to share any of those videos, I'm sure there's some out there that haven't been put on social media. So wow, that's good stuff. So anyway, yeah, that's fun stuff. Hey, Lexus, we could talk forever, but we're gonna let you go. I know you got another big day ahead of you in basketball, and you got your track and field, and you're probably signing autographs and talking to people all the time. But we really appreciate you taking time out and joining us, and congrats again on that state championship.
Thank you guys so much.
Thanks for coming.
Okay. All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. A special player, really nice girl. Even though she hangs out with Alex Darnell a little bit, we won't hold that against her. Hopefully, I didn't get you in any trouble with that, Derek. But
no. It's all good. Okay.
It was just really nice to have another state champion on the show, because doing this show with you two, I'm never going to really experience that. So it was nice to talk about a parade like we had in Milan, or watching that state championship game after. I mean, I could relate to a lot of those things. So it was really nice to have her on.
Yeah, it's amazing too. Like Grass Lake, they did it with homegrown players. Unlike, well, no, I'll just leave. That's for another day.
Okay. We're going to talk about it in a minute. So you be careful where you go with that.
I hope that parade you did for the Milan state title, I hope it detoured into Ypsilanti at least for a couple minutes and then came back to Milan. I think that would have been appropriate, but I'm just going to leave it at that. So keeping up with girls basketball, we need to talk about another really good game in the area. Gabriel Richard, led by Coach Tim Kane, they lose to Parma Western 53-50 in a quarterfinal at Chelsea. That was Monday night. This was the game that I think you guys did pick Gabriel Richard to win close games. I picked Parma Western to win the game, but I kind of picked them to win in by double figures. And this game was nip and tuck all the way. Came down to the end, kind of an interesting end of the game. But what were your guys' thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I mean, it was a really impressive game. And, I mean, once again, the takeaway has to be we need a freaking shot clock in high school basketball. Because, again, both teams were making big shots. You know, they were trading blows in the fourth quarter. Parma Western got up by a little bit. And, Gabriel Richard went on a little bit of a run to come back. And Richard was using that zone. Kind of a packed in, I think it was a 3-2 or 2-3. It's been a while since I watched it. And, Parma decided to pull the ball out with 3 minutes to go, I think it was. And Gabriel Richard let him do it for a while. And I think they ran over 2 minutes off the clock during that stretch. They actually, Gabriel Richard did end up having a shot to tie the game after that. But it did not fall. And then obviously Parma Western was able to hit some free throws and hold on. But it was an exciting game. Coach Kane should definitely be giving you some crap for not believing in him like me and Trope did. But,
No question about that. Well, I mean, I would to elaborate on what Derek said. Obviously, shot clock, right? I mean, this is getting really old. I mean, it's not good for basketball. And we saw it in the Division IV Class D boys state finals as well. We're going four corners with like 5 minutes left. So there's going to have to be a change at some point. But in Tim's defense, I think it was just over the 3 minute mark when Western decided to pull it out. And I think at just under 2 minutes, Tim came out and played. The thing that, nobody's talking about is he had three players with four fouls. I mean, and he's only dressing or really playing six girls because they had some injuries. So letting the game get a little shorter and putting the pressure on Western, I actually don't think that was the end of the world. He came out and played with just under 2 minutes. That's enough time to come back, because a lot of people are like, oh, he should have came out of the zone right away. I think he was just, hedging his bet a little bit with the fact that he was in such foul trouble. They were banged up and figured, hey, we can win a 2 minute game. So I think he did the right thing, in my opinion, and came out and got after him. That's always going to be second guessed and things like that. But, if Western misses some free throws or doesn't make the right plays down the stretch, then you'd question, did they come, did they hold the ball too early? So it's just like I said, it's time to go to the shot clock. But what a great season for Gabriel Richard. What a great season for Tim. He's got that program rolling in the right direction right now. And we've mentioned this before, you know, girls basketball right now in the state of Michigan is a lot like boys football. Or, no, I guess there's only boys football, but a lot like football. It's a land of have and have nots. I mean, when the season starts, there's only, 10 teams that could even possibly win a state title because of the talent disparity in the sport. So Tim's one of those teams right now, and that's awesome. That's special, and it's very cool.
Good deal. Okay, moving over to the boys' side of things. Great game yesterday, low scoring, but a great game. Huron loses to Grand Blanc 45-36 in the Division I championship game. I know all three of us watch it from our televisions, and Josh was in and out a little bit, having to do a little yard work, but exciting stuff. That game was closer than the final score. It came right down to the end. There were some things that happened that kind of shaped the end of the game, but what'd you guys think?
I mean, it was a really high-level basketball game. A lot of good basketball players on the floor. I think, so at one point during the first half, I know you had said when we were watching it together, it's like, man, there's not even a single average basketball player on the floor, which is sometimes, hard to find in high school basketball. But, high-level game. It really it's disappointing from a fan's perspective that Huron had to deal with such foul trouble in the second half, because it took them out of the flow, and then they had to sort of slow the pace a lot because of that. But I know we talked about this some previously, but another rule change potential, like going to six fouls or something.
Yeah, how about that?
Because honestly, nice. A couple of those fouls were a little shaky calls as well that they had go against them throughout the game on both Rawls and Julian Lewis, who both had four in the third quarter, I think, or early in the fourth. Overall, though, it was a great game. Grand Blanc is an impressive team. I watched them in the semis as well as in the finals, and I hadn't really seen them play much, but they are impressive, and they're going to be a handful again next year.
I missed a little bit of the first quarter. I watched the rest and was able to text with you guys. Both teams, so impressive. The amount of talent that was out there was just insane. I think I counted seven guys for Ann Arbor Huron that are going to play at the next level next year. I mean, that's unbelievable. In Grand Blanc, they probably had the best player. And then on top of that, the kid, the sophomore that Jack, and I forget his last name right now. Maybe you guys can help me.
RJ Taylor.
Oh, my gosh. The shooter. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, he was great. And so, I mean, Grand Blanc, their two guys really stepped up yesterday. But just the amount – and there probably was 11 or 12 college basketball players on the floor. It was like watching a college basketball game, high-level game. Two teams, well-coached basketball teams. Kids executed, played well. It was a great state finals game. My two takeaways are, as typical, you guys seem to share one brain on this show, but with the stick foul. But that's, I mean, come on. We're going to make new rules up for high school basketball. There's nobody in the country playing with six fouls. I think, it's unfortunate they got in foul trouble. That's part of our sport. That's part of our game. So it was very unfortunate, because I thought it took away from Huron's ability to be as effective as they could have been. But we've all gone through that, and, next man up, and they certainly have enough talent, and those type of things. And then I think the other thing, if anything, I would say is that game I watched yesterday didn't look like anything like I saw from your games this year or mine. And what I mean by that is a next level, what we were watching. There's a completely different level of basketball than we're competing at a regular basis. And it just screams again why we need six divisions in basketball. It's absurd that we only have four state champions. I'd say six divisions in every sport, except football, leave eight, that's fine. But we should have at least six in every sport. I mean, it's the think that Pinckney with 903 kids this year had to play against those type of teams in the state playoffs is unbelievable.
Yeah. You have selective rules that you want to change and then ones you don't want to change. I find that interesting, but again, I'm not going to go there. But I love that you referenced RJ Taylor. He led him with 15 points. Derek mentioned him before the game. I didn't even know who this kid was. And when they introduced him in the starting lineup, you would have thought he was maybe the manager or, an underclassman who got, like, what's he running out there for? He does not have the wow factor in terms of his physique yet. Then again, he's only 15, 16 years old. Very impressive. The big guy, Ty Rogers, he only had 9 points. Oh, the best thing about Ty Rogers yesterday, and or maybe the worst thing, his 21 game dunk streak came to an end. He had dunked in 21 straight games.
Hey, it wasn't for lack of trying. He tried to dunk on Kingsley Perkins. He jumped from what, like 7 feet outside the paint. He tried to dunk on him. It wasn't even close, but he tried.
He had an amazing alley-oop after they called a baseline foul on Huron, where they threw a lob up and he came in and crashed in and caught one and threw it down. But they had already called the foul. But yeah, he's a high flyer, man.
Yeah, he's uncommitted. He's only a junior. Womack played really well for Huron with 18 points, and that it was tough to see. Julian Lewis just never got going. The foul trouble. And they did a really good job on him. And Graham Blank is well coached. I didn't even know that Michael Thomas was their coach. The guy that was at Kalamazoo Central. He won back-to-back state titles in 2010 and 2011, one of which was against Ann Arbor Huron the last time they were in the state finals. So Graham Blank has been good for ever since he's been there. I think it's 4 or 5 seasons, and they're not going away anytime soon either. But, yeah, I agree with you guys. Really high-level basketball is a lot of fun to watch. So, in other local news, Hanover Horton lost to eventual state champion Flint Beecher 47-34 in the D3 semifinals. Thoughts on that game?
I thought it was a pretty well played game by Hanover. They played the game the way they needed to give themselves a chance. The biggest problem for them was, you know, they missed like literally 2 wide open layups in the first half. Like one was a breakaway and one was off a backdoor cut where they missed. I mean, that's 4 points there that they left on the table, and they had a couple other, shots that they typically can make inside. And then they also were, I think, 2 for 15 from 3. And like both of the 3s came in the last couple of minutes of the game. So they just couldn't make a shot from the perimeter. They did a good job of slowing down Beecher, and Beecher obviously showed in the state championship game that they are the real deal. Hanover had them in a decent spot. So there's no reason for them to hang their head. They lost to an extremely good team, but they played well, and they obviously were well prepared, and their group of seniors is obviously, very successful careers that they wrapped up by making it all the way to the Breslin, which is awesome.
I did not get to see the game. I was following your guys' text chain, and I think at one point I texted, "Don't you guys still have jobs?" Because it was 10 in the morning, and I'm like, "How are you guys able to watch this?" But I forgot you were on spring break, Matt, and Derek was virtual, but I was unable to catch any of the game. I did text with Chad that night, and I'll just say this: I couldn't be happier for guys like Chad, who got a chance to coach his son his senior year, and Tom Reason, who had a chance to coach Dylan this year. I mean, I have 2 boys that are coming, and I couldn't imagine having that taken away after spending all this time together as a family. You lose that opportunity to coach your son as a senior. So, and I thought the press conference, Chad showed, Chad's not a very emotional guy, and for him to show those emotions in the press conference, it just showed how much it meant to coach Connor this year. And then the other thing that it was funny in our text exchange, Chad simply just said, "We couldn't shoot." I mean, it's just one of those days. And now part of that was because of Flint Beecher's defense. But, when you struggle to score the basketball, it's tough to win.
Yeah, I mean, these scores, Hanover, really started like the second half of the Leslie game in the regional, final. And then with their scores, I mean, their quarterfinal score with Arbor Prep, which you guys predicted, both of you, that it was going to be low scoring, 41-29. And, the score was
shot
19 to 11. What's that?
Shot clock.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's just like, and there was a lot of low scoring games. The Class A state final yesterday was low scoring, and it back to the shot clock, and we could just beat that up forever and ever. But, Hanover was down 19-11 to Arbor Prep in that quarterfinal, outscored them 30-10 in the second half to win that. Hanover's a very efficient offensive team, and there were some long possessions, but also, again, the defense and just the preparation, and everybody's a little more conservative in these big games. It's win or go home, so people tend to be a little less risky in their offense. They want to limit possessions. That's part of it too. But man, yeah, it would be nice to see if we could speed these games up a little bit. So, great season for Hanover. Derek, you need to find Coach Mortimer another job now that his son has graduated. need to see it, start sending him like job links to small colleges or whatever, or assistant coaching jobs in college, get him out of the Cascades. I think that would help some chances in that conference. But so anyway, what a run they've had. And if he stays, I'm sure it's going to continue, or at least be close to it. So, but anyway, yeah, so that's good. And now, you know, with the season ending, I guess it's quickly Lexi said, right into AAU. I mean, she went right into high school track, and then she's playing AAU basketball today with a Michigan crossover. And that's a lot of these high school, a lot of them have already started. We were getting AAU results on Twitter even this past weekend while the state finals were going on. These kids who just played in these games are going to be joining their AAU teams. It's going to be full go within a week or so, despite some COVID caution out there. But AAU season, is that exciting for you guys?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, this was actually something else that kind of got cut out a year ago. And, you know, I actually haven't had a ton of experience with AAU, either coaching or playing. And, you know, I'm actually going to be coaching a team this year that, you know, we're able to piece together. So I'm actually excited to get to, you know, keep going with the basketball, because it had been such a long time there. And, you know, it was a short, compact season. So I'm excited to be able to keep going with the, you know, more games, and obviously a lot of games with AAU season. So,
right.
Yeah. AAU basketball is great. I mean, it's just, it's so much fun. It's weekends where you're in the gym all weekend, or at a hotel, or out to eat with your team. And, you know, it's just a lot of fun. It's a little more loose, you know. It's not as stressful, because if you lose one, well, there's another one in a couple hours. And if you lose both, well, you're just going to be putting the silver bracket instead of the platinum, or, you know, so it's, and guess what, if you have a rough weekend, well, we're playing next weekend. So it you know, and I don't mean that to diminish it. It's just different. It's almost in a lot of ways more fun because of that. So yeah, no, both of my boys are playing AAU. I have several players playing, and several of them are playing this weekend, and a couple in Indianapolis are playing right now. I got one in Sandusky playing next weekend. Four more start playing, and both of my sons start. So yeah, no, it's go time right now. It's fun. I mean, this is a fun time of the year.
AAU bingo is off and running as well on social media. Thanks for sharing that tweet today. And there was some great ones that were already crossed off. And we might have to add to that and do our own AAU bingo. I mean, there's some out there that they're funny, but they've been out there forever. But they're every AAU tournament is different, and there's always something that makes you go, wow, did I just really see that? And yeah, so it's going to be fun. Tons of kids from the area are going to be playing, and we all have our own players doing it as well. So that maybe will become the focus of our podcast down the road. So.
Yeah, I'd like to get some guests on, like some guys that run local AAU programs. It'd be good to get like a Jordan Ebbs on and interview him, and just some other, you know, guys that are connected to the AAU world, like a Keith Wade, have him come back. He's been doing it forever. And, you know, but yeah, no, I think it will be our focus. That and, you know, summer basketball, which is also right around the corner.
I hope we have summer basketball.
Don't even say that.
I'll tell you what, though. You thank the athletic directors. They're taking a deep breath right now, coming out of spring break, and now we're going to hit the toughest path of our whole year. And that's saying something. You consider what we struggled with in the fall and the winter, but the spring sports and the testing and health departments recommending that schools shut down for 2 weeks right now, and kind of go along with Whitmer's request. From Friday, it's back, and it's more stress, and it's going to be an interesting couple months for sure.
We could do a whole another podcast just on that, how once again the Michigan rules compared to the rest of the country. I mean, it's just we could do a whole podcast on that. So
I think we have, if you put all of the time we've talked about it over the months, we probably could just have just the highlights of just that. And we could just assemble it and not even have to get together for it.
I just feel for these kids, because, I mean, at some point, you know, when are they're never going to trust anybody again in their life. I mean, it's just the rules and the targets change, and they continue to move, you know, it's just tough. I mean, at some point, if we're going to test athletes, why aren't we testing everybody? I mean, it's almost, you're almost being punished if you're an athlete. It's crazy.
Right. Okay, everybody. Well, hey, thanks for joining us. That was great. That kind of wraps up our 2021 season. We're not done with the podcast. We'll keep coming out and changing our focus, but it's always going to be on high school basketball in the area. So until next time, folks, everyone stay safe, mask up, and peace. We'll be right back.